The sounds of gunfire you've just heard are part of the battle effects called for by Beethoven in the festive symphony which he wrote to celebrate Wellington's victory over the forces of Bonaparte in Vittoria. In what is probably one of the most resounding battle pieces in the history of music, along with Tchaikovsky's Overture 1812, Beethoven showered the pages of his score with no less than 188 cannon shots and 25 musket volleys. Each shot in the tricky pattern of gunfire is clearly indicated, and the total effect is enhanced by the English and French crossfire from opposite sides of the battleground. In order to recreate the authentic sounds of early 19th century gunfire, special care had to be taken in selecting the weapons to be used in this stereophonic recording. Gerald C. Stowe, curator of the West Point Museum, planned and coordinated details of the firing, which took place on a sunny August day at the United States Military Academy at West Point. He chose three muzzle-loading artillery pieces and seven flintlock muskets for the project. Appropriately, one of the cannon was English and was manufactured at the famous Woolwich Foundry in 1755. The second, a French-made six-pounder bronze cannon, was made in Strasbourg in 1761. And the third gun was a 12-pound howitzer of the type used by both sides during the Battle of Vittoria. The battery was arranged with the French cannon on the left, the English on the right, and the howitzer in center. Members of the 2nd New Jersey Light Artillery Unit loaded and fired the weapons. Opposite the artillery pieces and suspended from the branches of nearby trees were the three omnidirectional microphones, which relayed the shots to the mobile recording truck parked at a discreet distance from the firing line. Now all is ready to begin the firing. The bags of gunpowder are lowered into the barrel of the English six-pounder. Wet paper wadding is rammed down over the charges to produce the effect of a heavy projectile being shot from the muzzle. The firing pin is inserted in the breech. From the truck's intercom, we hear the signal to begin.
You may fire when ready.
All right.
The cannoneer pulls the lanyard. Well, that was a powerful shot. But the impact produced a shower of leaves in the forest, and that sound is being picked up by the ultra-sensitive microphones. Let's try it again. The men reload the English cannon and stand by for the signal to fire. Just at this moment, a stiff breeze coming from the valley sets the left and center microphones to fluttering, and the artillerymen hold their fire. Now all is quiet again, except for the sound of the crickets. Mr. Stowe shouts to the truck.
Ready? Ready?
Okay, anytime you're ready.
Okay.
Well, that was a good one, too. Did you notice how the sound reverberated in the distance? It's time now to test the French cannon. Well, we're lucky today. As you heard, the first French shot was a success. Now let's turn our attention to the howitzer. The charge is rammed down the muzzle of the 12-pounder. The firing pin is inserted. It seems that the 20th century has intruded into our recreation of the Napoleonic era. The sound of the plane dies away. Now the crew stands by for the howitzer shot. Here it is. Well, now that we've heard from each of the field pieces, let's listen to these weapons fired in rapid succession. A member of the crew introduces the order in which they are to be fired.
First gun, let's come French. Second gun, let's come British. Third gun, 12-pound howitzer.
During the rest of the morning and part of the afternoon, 21 cannon shots were fired and recorded. Following the cannonade, Mr. Stowe and the members of the 2nd New Jersey Light Artillery Unit shoulder their muskets and march to the firing line. The squad is armed with French muskets manufactured during the Revolutionary period and English muskets made during the reign of George III. Both types are muzzle-loading weapons, and firing them was a laborious procedure. The musketeer has to bite the cartridge tab, pour some powder in the pan, the rest in the muzzle, cram the paper and the lead ball over it, and ram the entire load with a metal ramrod. The sounds you're now hearing are those of the squad loading their muskets. Now the men bring muskets to shoulders, cock the hammers, and fire. Well, these old muskets certainly speak with authority. There were 3 misfires, but this is not unusual for flintlock muskets. The squad is standing by now for another volley, and here it is. Over 60 musket shots were recorded during the rest of the afternoon. Mr. Stowe had the musketeers use several different powder charges in order to obtain maximum variety and sound. Now, here are a few examples of the range of dynamics and timbre which these muskets are capable of producing. First, a deep-throated bark. Now, a soprano shot. A couple of angry snaps. A near thunderclap, followed by 2 lighter pops. By the time the last shot had been fired, the sun was beginning to set. The microphones were taken down from the trees, the audio cables were rolled onto drums, and the troops withdrew from the battlefield, leaving behind only the fragmentized remains of Sunday newspapers that had been used for cannon wadding. Later, the results of the day's firing were auditioned, and the best-sounding shots selected for the master tape.